I had a very interesting shaila that just crossed my path. It didn't come to me, but a very interesting issue last week. I'll just share it with you just as a parperes. Nothing to do with Hilchos Rivas, huh?
Break the ice.
To break the ice. Right. There was a couple, it's highly unusual, but a couple, a 70-year-old couple, late 60s, just around 70 years old, that became Balei Tshuva. It's not typical. Usually the older a person gets, the harder it is. And came Balei Tshuva, and the people they're involved with, they said, you know what, they're married already almost 50 years, but they might as well have a chuppah and kiddushin, you know. Why not? So they're involved now with the Rav, with somebody who's Isaac in Kirva Chaikim. So he said, you know what, gave him an address of a Rav, a local Rav, and he'll do a chuppah and kiddushin for you. Fine. They go to Rav. So Rav asked them, were you ever married before? So she says, not really. I was married briefly for maybe a year, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. He says, really? You married for a year? Do you remember the guy's name? Sure, I remember the guy's name. Is he Jewish? Yeah, he's Jewish. Do you have a chuppah? He said, yeah. His parents insisted that we had a rabbi there. Conservative, Orthodox. Didn't matter to me. I don't remember. But I have a document. So she brings a ksuba. She brings a ksuba, signed by Reverend so-and-so, and they weren't able to find out who this reverend is. And you know, he says, not only I can make a chasna for you, but you're an eishes ish, you know, you never had a get. So, possibly, I don't know. I don't know if you should be nemlin to the guy to ask her. But this fellow is involved in Kirov. He's a Ishmaisa. He actually traced down the husband who lives in Las Vegas, and through a shliach, the guy was willing to give a get. He had to pay him a few dollars for the tircha, but you know, he's already an old man. He's not. He's willing. So he gave a get. So finally, it took 7 or 8 months. And finally he tells her, okay, go back to the rabbi, tell him you got your get. He goes back to the Rav that I got my get, and you know, now we want to make a chuppah kiddush. So the Rav thinks for a minute. He says, a problem. What's the problem? That a isha who's mezana tachas baila is also labaya lulabal. A woman who's married, as she says, she's mezana with somebody, is also to the person she's mezana with, and here you're mezana for 40 years, the isser. So, what do you do now? So came back to this fellow who's involved in Kirov, and he couldn't be saying, well, Yochai, it's true. As he was telling me the story, I thought they're going to say, you have to wait 92 days. You know, we wait from a get to a kedusha. I thought, all right, 92 days, you can, you know, wait 45 years. So, this fellow, he had said, you got to find a heter, you know. I mean, they weren't going to separate anyway. That wasn't the issue. But, you know, here he went, he's a carved of everything, and now, you know, every time they live together, it's in a sakaris, you have to find some. That would be in the salav, you have to get. But anyway. So he was taka, went around. He came to a certain Rav Munsi, who, you know, what does it mean when you say you look for a heter? Shasatchak, you're allowed to be saibach on a heter. So he's looking around. So, all right, they were Tinuk Shanishba. She certainly wasn't amazed. She was either a Shaygeg or an Inus. The question is there an Issa by a Shaygeg or an Inus that they're Asul about? So the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch that there is an Issa, even B'Shaygeg. Not by this, but even B'Shaygeg, you're Asul about. So Chayre, you have a problem. I mean, what? It could be a Shaygeg, you still have a problem. So this Rav has a Gavaldiga Heti. He looked up the Makar in the Marik. The Marik says, why is it that a woman is Mezana Tachas Baal B'Shaygeg is Aser? Because the Torah says, Kimala B'Maal. It's a concept that even if a person is Mezana B'Shaygeg, the Isser is because of Maal B'Maal, because it's a sign of rebelliousness to the husband. So he found in the Mashmois of Marik himself that if in this case with her first husband thought he divorced her, the case he found was a case where someone gave a get to his wife. A man gave his get to a firm person, gave his wife a get, and she went out, and she remarried, etc. Now they find he's a psul in the get, which is a tragedy. The get was possible. Nowadays, we don't give women the get. After a get, we never give the woman a get. As soon as the get is over, the get is folded and cut as a siman that it shouldn't be checked, and it's put away. The woman's given a shtar peturin, and we don't look at all get. Once a woman gets married, we assume the bezin did right, and it's a good get. But ma'isa shahaya that there was a possible get, so they wanted her, so they gave a good get. But now she was already lived with her new husband. She's also levayel. So based on the Marik says the Isra is malar by mal, the Torah says, because it's a sign of rebelliousness to her husband to be mizana. In a case where the husband thought he divorced her, that there's no dinner malai by mal, and there a shaygig is mutter, doesn't become asa levayel. And this was a heter that was what? The Marik's chiddush is that even if it's not amazed in against the husband, if it's amazed in the ma'isabia, even if it's not amazed in the iser, you don't know it's aser. That's Marik's case. The person didn't know there was an aveira. Didn't know there was an iser to be mizana tachas bayil. Still, it's aser because mala by mala, still rebelliousness against the husband. But that the point is that in such a case where she sent him away, that the iser doesn't apply. So it was a very nice heta for an otherwise hopeless situation. And, alright, see you, Diyam. Anyway, nothing to do with Hilchos Rivah, it's just a nice thing that came up last week. Alright, we finished Simcha Kuf Samach. I skipped Simcha Kuf Aleph. Because Simcha Kuf Aleph is complicated and doesn't have any direct bearing on Halacha Lamaisa. It has indirect bearing on an entire siman known as Sa B'Sa. So we're going to learn Simcha Kuf Aleph today, and I'll fill you in on the dinim of Sa B'Sa, which will probably take us not 1 week but two, but we're going to get to it. Here, the question, before we start, the question is the following. Now this is already sort of an economics course in the Gemara, and the issue is an issue of how currency works. How does money work? In what way do we decide the value of something? Let's say I'm a ganif, God forbid, and I steal something, and at the time I steal this item, it's worth $100, and after I steal it, there's a for whatever reason there's a spike in the price of the thing I stole. Now it's worth $150. I go, I sell it for $150, and later I do tshuva. How much do I have to pay the nignav? So generally speaking, there are exceptions, generally speaking, I only have to pay the value of the thing at the time I stole it. The concept of currency, what Chazal called tiba, is a halachic concept that things are valued at the tibba, at the time that the obligation occurred. So that, let's say I'm mazik someone, I break his window, so I have to pay his window the value at the time that it happened. That's not 100% true, because a window could be replaced. Let's say I destroy something that belongs to someone, I owe him money, then that money is valued at the time I destroyed it. Yes? That's why I said in almost all cases, when it's still banned, he has a mitzvah to return it. So he has a mitzvah to return it with it, despite the fact that it's worth more. Or the reverse, if it's worth less, Hari Shalach Lefanecha. No, I think he pays according to when it was stolen. If he can't be Mekayim HaShavas Gezeilah, he pays when he's stolen. Certainly if the person was Miyayish, so there's a Kenyan Midrabban. This is a rule in general when we talk about money. The truth is that had human beings not created the concept of money, let's say, right, whenever we learned in school about this, they said in the beginning everyone bartered. And then people thought of the idea of money. That's the way they used to teach it to us in the elementary school. Let's say it started the way the supposedly the cavemen did it originally. Right, they borrowed it. I can't believe that Adam didn't think of having money, because it just feels so good to have money that, Adam sure had that pleasure. But let's say society would have worked that human beings would barter all the time. One person would have a shoe store, one person would have a fruit store, and that's how you do it. You go in, you trade a pair of shoes for fruit, and if this fruit store owner had enough shoes, you'd go find, a Chinaman somewhere else who needs shoes, and you get. Now the issue, what would happen? Let's say human beings would have never thought of the concept of money. The Chazon Ish says we'd be obligated to create the concept of money, befitting the Jewish race, right? We'd be obligated to create the concept of money, because without money, you can't really deal with obligations one to another. Let's say I have a debt obligation to you. What do I owe you? I owe you apples or I owe you oranges. The value of apples and oranges don't fluctuate the same. So what is the peg? What is the thing we peg it to? So what we peg it to is money. Now this is a general statement. And halacha lemaisa, it's also true. If I borrow money from you, I owe you the currency value. If I borrow objects from you, now let's say I borrow, let's say I'm in the cake business. I need 100 pounds of flour. So I go over to another bakery and I tell him, I'm out of flour, snowstorm, I didn't get my delivery, can I have 100 pounds of flour? So he gives me a 100 pound sack. He tells me, all right, you'll pay back 100 pounds of flour when you get your delivery, give me back 100 pounds of flour. Now that's called saw b'saw, which means I borrowed a measure and I'm going to return the identical measure. In the jewelry line, it's routine. You borrow a kilo of gold, you return a kilo of gold, even though the price of gold fluctuates daily, and it fluctuates over time quite wildly. But nevertheless, that's the way things are routinely, business is done. That's called saw b'saw. The question is whether that's really mutter. Why? Because at the time I borrow a kilo of gold, it could be worth $300. And when I pay, it could be $300 an ounce, not $300 a kilo. $300, it could be $300 an ounce. And at the time I'm paying it back, it could be, today I think it's about $375. What is it? How much is it? What? Over 400 already, wow. It could be over $400. Wow. You should have bought a lot of gold a few years ago. In good shape. I'm a very good financial advisor, as long as you tell me what happened. What was it? It was just 300. It was under 300 a couple of years ago. It's over $400. What? Wow. I'm going to sell all my gold. So now the question is, how do you peg it? Now, L'chaira, it should work the same way as all of Torah works, that it's pegged at the value. And certainly, if nothing was made up, if no arrangement was made, if you just lend me 100 pounds of flour, you don't say return 100 pounds of flour, it's pegged to the value. If it's worth a certain amount today, then I have to pay back that certain amount later. So this is the issue which a sip comes to deal with. The Gemara has a concept of basa me'ikara azlinan, that you go according to what it was originally. There's a machlekes rishayin in what taich basa me'ikara, and it's like your introduction to Ezel Neshach in the first Amid. Yes. Mal de teva basa me'ikara azlinan, kamash flon basa lo besayf. It's complicated. Yeah. Does it have to be non-perishable goods? No. No, although there may be cases where there'll be an afkamina, but no, because I'm borrowing it to use it. All right, let me say, if I borrow something and I intend to return the same object, I borrow a shovel, sort of a mushroom. I borrow a shovel and I tell you I'll return the shovel later. I bring back the shovel, or better yet, I have a shovel, but my neighbor has a snowblower. So I borrow a snowblower. And then I use the snowblower and I return it to him. I give him a cake with it, or I'm very grateful that he gave me a snowblower. Is that an issur ribus? No. Why? Because as I told you at the beginning, loive and shayel in Hebrew are two different things. Loive is when you borrow something, use it, milva loitzanin, consume it, spend it, trade it, bake it, whatever I do, and I return different things than I originally borrowed. If I'm returning the same item I originally borrowed, paying for it is called a rental. You rent a car. What do? You get a car, you turn the car, and you pay. Rental, schiris, is mutter. You're allowed to give something extra when you rent something. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says somebody wanted to rent money. He was going to turn the same money. He wanted to rent money. He wanted to look rich. He was having people coming over, so he wanted to leave money sprinkled all over the house. So people should look rich. I don't know why anybody would do that. So he wanted to do that. So he paid rent. There's no problem. You turned the same bills. Today it happens very often that people borrow money, but they don't really return the same cash unless it's a Pekadon. Okay. The point is that if you're returning the same object, then there's no issur ribis, and that's min hatorah, that's min rabbanan, that's halacha
l'maaseh. Okay, for the shovel, let's say you broke the shovel and then you purchase a new one that's exactly the same, but it's really not the same. You return it.
Yeah.
Ribis,
no ribis problem, because you wouldn't borrow it. No, but you were a shovel. The truth is, it's totally in two terutzim of the Gemara. The Gemara says, what's the difference, shayel and laiva? So the Gemara says, one teretz zu hadra ba'ena, and this is not hadra ba'en, which means that it's mutter in this case. The other one is, this one has a pchas, and this one doesn't have a pchas. In the case of the shovel, in the case of items you use, as you use them, there's a pchas. It gets technically worth a little less. According to the Gemara, second teretz, if you're giving back a new shovel, it would be an issur ribis. Machlex Rashi Taisis, if we pass my both teretz or either teretz, we pass in either teretz, which means that the fact that you made up to be hadra ba'ene is sufficient to take away the ilchus ribis. Later, you're a mazik. A mazik has to pay. You broke a shovel. That's it. Means you're a mazik. So you have to pay the various shovel. You can give it back more. A mazik. Yeah, but you only mechuyev to give the value of a depreciated shovel. But you're allowed to give more. There's no avera. There's no isser in giving someone more when your mazik is thing. So there's no problem. So.
Car mechanic wasn't very good, but he put a battery in and he broke the battery ahead. So I asked him up at that time.
So there's no ribbis issue.
No ribbis issue, but I wanted a new battery. So he said, so the life measure of the life of the battery is the control of the certain amount. He only has to pay that amount.
Correct.
And I said I want a battery that works.
Of course you want it. He agreed that you want it, but he only has to give you what it was magic. If someone's magic a used item, he only has to give the value of the used item. That's not like a brand new item.
No.
Someone borrows my car and ruins it, he doesn't have to give me a 2005 as payment. Well, yours worked, and he has to give you one that works, but he can give you one that works.
No, you don't have to give the money. Value is more.
Because he can't buy a battery at that value. What? Yeah, if it's Balavi, why it's fun. What? By where? Hava, you have to pay. There's no Balavi, right? By Hava, that's another Nafkamina, Hava and Sheila. Can do that. No problem. There's no problem. You can anytime you're not a loiva, you can give people whatever you like. If you're a shayel, you can borrow, you can give back whatever you like. Milva lights on it. Now, all milva is spent. It's confusing to people because in English it's called borrowing money, it's called borrowing a shovel and borrowing a car. But in Hebrew, one is called a loiva, one's called she'ila, and they have two different concepts in Riv.
The devalued usage,
according to what it's only if it's devalued usage. According to that territory, if you borrow jewelry, which doesn't go down, you would be also to pay rent for it. And so Machlokes Rashi and Taisis, but we pass in that either territory is good.
Why is the problem? Generally, if the ribbons in the notion, the hair go up and go down. It's like,
okay.
No ribbons necessarily.
Okay, what is sabisah? Getting back, you borrow X number of pounds of gold or pounds of flour or whatever you borrow, and you're going to use that flour, use that gold, and return different gold and different flour. That is a halva, and the surm of ribbis do apply. However, sabisah is only an issur d'rabbanan. The issur of sabisah is only d'rabbanan, and therefore there are three significant exceptions which make it mutter in almost every case bizman hazeh. So people learn the Gemara, Sabasa is aser. It's true, Sabasa is aser. There are three significant exceptions which make it mutter. Before I get to the exceptions, the original point that Sabasa is only a Darabana needs explanation. Why is Sasa only Darabana? If I borrow I borrow 100 pounds of flour, I borrow a kilo of gold, it should be like everything else, the Kalatara Kula, it should be pegged to the value. So that's the Chiddush of Sifchaf Aleph, which says very briefly, just tells you the rule, it doesn't tell you the halacha l'maisa. Yoisif kuf b'kuf chaf, if you borrow 100 of something for 120, you make up, you arrange to repay 120, you borrow 100 prutis, you can return 120 prutis. Meikara kuf bedanka, l'saif kuf chaf. But what happened is that the value of the thing you borrowed, it changed. And later, the price changed. Also midaraisa. Since you were kaitzitz originally, you made the mistake of originally saying, I'm borrowing 100, I'm going to give you back 120. Therefore, that is asa. Which is sabasad. If you borrow 100, you borrow 100 pounds, you say, I'm going to return 100 pounds. Ve'iyaker, and the value goes up. Asa midrabanan. Returning that 100 pounds is only asa midrabanan, which means, there's a machlekes rishayim in what the hesber is. The Buki Yosef in his Pirish on Ezel Neshech explains, because basar meikara means that if you borrow 100 pounds of flour and you just say I'm borrowing 100 pounds of flour, you don't specify you're going to pay back 100 pounds, then in Hachinami you owe the dollar value, just like if you're mazik you owe the dollar value. However, if you said I'm borrowing 100 pounds for 100 pounds, since at that time it was no ktsitsis ribis, because 100 pounds is 100 pounds, therefore that's not ribis. Now that itself is a chiddush, because I would think that everything should be pegged to the dollar value, but that kufa is the chiddush of this second if of the sif, that if you're not kaitzitz, then you're not kaitzitz. Now,
the fact that
the Gemara has a ribui. The Gemara has a ribui for food and pears. The Gemara has a specific ribui.
I mean, unlimited dover.
It's in the first Ami that goes up in Ezel Neshech, the first, the second.
Is there an additional problem here that today the value of money itself fluctuates?
Okay, there's a second thing which I'm going to get to at the end, and that is the currency markets fluctuate. They fluctuate less today than then, because then, what's interesting, and that's why it would be confusing to someone to read the Mefarash HaShulchan Aruch, then coins made out of copper, gold, and silver fluctuate. Imagine if the dime, the quarter, and the dollar fluctuated relative one to another. By us, it's always four quarters of a dollar. The time of Chazal wasn't that way. The pruta compared to the zuz would fluctuate. It would have a basic value, and it fluctuated to a certain degree.
In Israel, when you borrow money in the bank, they adjust.
Okay, I'm going to. Okay, I'd like to get to the question. It's a very common question today. Borrowing pounds and paying dollars. In Israel, today it's not so bad, but years ago when the inflation was crazy, everything was pegged to the dollar. People's salaries were pegged to the dollar, and okay, we're going to get to it. Let's talk about Paris, and then we'll get to dollars. In Simek Kuf Samach Beis, there are the discussion here is of Hava Asa B'Sa. You don't have Kuf Samach Beis in your photostats. I don't intend, at least for today, to learn the Mefarshei Shulchan Aruch inside, just to discuss Asa B'Sa, because when, especially if someone has no knowledge of Hilchus Ribis, it's not so dangerous. But after you learn Hilchus Ribis and you come across a business deal that's Asa B'Sa, you may immediately panic, Asa B'Sa, that's Asa, which it is. However, the exceptions are so are so significant that it's almost every case that Sar B'Sar comes up, it's not an issue. There are three exceptions of Sar B'Sar. Let's first talk about the order of the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll, which deals first with the housewife and only later with the businessman. The first is a Ramah in the beginning of Siman Kuf Samech Beis. After it says it's asa to lend Sar B'Sar. Now, asa to lend Sar B'Sar means if I borrow 100 pounds of sugar and I say I'm going to repay 100 pounds, midrabanan, that's asa. If at the time I borrowed the 100 pounds, they were worth $50. When I repay it, they're worth $52 or $50.10. That's asa because the midrabanan, the loan is pegged to the actual value of the thing that I borrow, which would bring it in line with Kol HaTorah Kula, Kol HaTorah Kula, all bein adam l'chaveiroi, Kol HaTorah Kula is, I'll explain that maybe later, but all bein adam l'chaveiroi, the value of money is pegged to the kaspa, to the tiba, to the value of the main currency. Zot Ramah, yesh mi shaymer, the muta lilvais kikor lechem b'kikor lechem. You're allowed to borrow from your neighbor a loaf of bread on the condition to repay a loaf of bread. You don't have it in your kaf. It's a davar muet and loy kapti b'nei adam ahadadi, which means that when a housewife borrows a five pound bag of sugar, and she says she's going to return a 5 pound bag of sugar, that shlechayr is asad saw b'saw. He says that it's not asur because it's an amount that loy kapti b'nei adam ahadadi, that people are not makbid. This is a taisus in Ezel Neshach. At the end of Ezel Neshach, the Gemara has a case of Sa B'Sah, which is mutter beis hillel isrim. So why is it mutter? So the Rif learns that it's mutter because of one of the other two aterim we're going to get to later. And then why does the Gemara have to bring it only to tell you hillel asert? We don't pass like hillel. Taisus says no, it's a new heter. It's a heter of like kapti. If people are not makbid, it's mutter. So the question is, why should loy kapti make it mutter? And I'll tell you why it's important. What does loy kapti mean? You can learn the Gemara two ways. You can learn loy kapti means if I lend 5 pounds of sugar to my neighbor, I'm not makbid if they return it or they don't return it. I'm not makbid on the principle, on the keren. That's not always true. There are people who are makbid. She borrows things from him, she doesn't return it. There are people who are makbid, people are not makbid. Or does like kapti mean I'm not makbid on the extra amount, on the difference? The Mishnah Brura actually brings down this thing in Siman Tufnun, and he brings down the heter of Sar B'Sar there in his context. And it's clear from the Mishnah Brura that like kapti does not require that you're like kapti on the keren. It's sufficient that you're like kapti on the extra amount. Which means the following. It means that if I lend someone a 5 pound bag of sugar at a time that sugar is worth 5 pounds of sugar are worth what is it, $1, $3, then I'm not makbid if when they return it to me the value is 10 cents less or 10 cents more. I'm not makbid. What does it mean I'm not makbid? It means every rib is I'm not makbid. Why am I paying ribbis? I'm not makbid. Not makbid means now, loy makbid means, the way I understand it, the way it's explained in the Divrei Sefer from here on Hilchos Ribbis, is that people are not even goyris, they don't even notice the difference. People are not goyris, such a concept. I lent you 5 pounds, you're paying me back, you give me back more, you give me back less, the price went up, the price went down. It's not something that people take notice of. It's such a davar muad, people don't notice.
Oh,
that'll be the nafkamina. One second, good. That'll be 1 second. What? It could be the nachinami. That's why this heter is only true if it's a type of borrowing where you borrow something and you repay it, and it's a type of thing that people don't take notice of. The whole thing is also because it appears to be ribbis, even though Menatar is not ribbis. The heter is only if it's an amount that people generally don't take note of. And such a thing, there's a heter. However, that means that this heter does not apply in a situation where people do take notice. I think that if you lent someone a loaf of bread and they returned you bad, they returned to you 3/4 of a loaf of bread, you would notice it. I'm not saying you'd go to court over it, but it's something where people would have to pay this. But probably if she said, look, it's all I have is 3/4 of a pound, I hope you don't mind, you wouldn't mind. But, you know, if you go to the store and you buy a 5-pound bag of sugar and it's only 4 pounds inside, you would be makpid. Even though if the owner of the store, you know, asked you for the 50 cents, I don't think you'd care. But people are makpid on that. And Dibbe Seifer, he says that this heter, Davamud Lekapti, is only a heter in Sa B'Sa, if you're turning the full Sa. If you're turning less than the Sa, it's not a heter. If you borrow a generic brand of diapers and you're returning Loves or Pampers, I think people, it's something that people notice. People do consider it to be paid. Now, if you borrow Loves and pay back Pampers, I don't know if they cost the same, but basically the same price. So it's something that people don't notice. But, however, if it's something which is less b'mitzios, you're giving less of the item, no matter what it's worth, that's the nature of people. You buy a dozen eggs, and there are only 11 eggs. Could be the dozen eggs cost $1, and the one egg is worth 8 cents or 9 cents, and you're going to tell the store, or you're going to go back to the grocery. You're not going to make a special trip for the 9 cents. Some people would, but you're a payish, you would. But you're going to tell them next time, you know, I bought a dozen eggs, there were only 11. Only 11. You know, it's something that copies the nature of people that they're makbid, and therefore there is an Isser Ribbis in this thing, and people have to train their wives at home that when they borrow and lend things, that it should all be b'matana. If you remember, you give it back. If you don't remember, you don't give it back. First of all, even the Karen, yeah, that's the way neighbors should borrow one from the other. When we had a tenant, that was, the arrangement was, whatever's given is given by matana. You try to return it. You don't try to return it. I know one person told me, I don't know if it was someone here, that he tries to get his wife to do it. His wife is like a yaki. Everything she borrows, she writes down. You know, I don't know if she lends, she writes down too. But, you know, like she with her neighbor, they have a straight business arrangement. It's not good. Now, the truth is, she's giving the husband's, technically, the husband's thing. The husband's working with matana. But it's not a good thing. But anyway, this first heter is this type of heter. Now, yeah, if the price stayed the same, it's okay. If the price went down, we're going to limit it to Pesach Chuvas.
And availability, like she just doesn't want to go out to the store, but it's available in the store.
Oh, so we're going
to
discuss that now. Okay.
I want to get back the same thing. I want the convenience of getting back the same saw. Therefore, if I'm losing a little bit, I don't care. I need the convenience of getting back what I'm getting.
Right.
When it comes to money, I want every dollar. I'm cheap. I got to have every dollar back because I'm loaning something.
The
convenience getting back, I don't care if it's
A better quality, it depends on kapti. If it's something people notice. If it's something people notice, then it's awesome. All right. The gold, there's a heter, don't worry. There's a heter better gold. Not this heter, no. Okay, so but my point is, like kapti doesn't mean you're not makbid. Ishkayef, you're not makbid, you're a nice guy. You can't pay ribbis because you're not makbid. Like kapti inchi means that people are not makbid, like kapti b'nei adam is the lashon. That people are not makbid, it's not something people take notice of, and that's the heter of the Ramah. No, this is only a heter ribbis d'rabbanan. A heter ribbis d'iraisa. If someone lends you $59.99, then you repay $59.99. There is a Meches Yitzchak. He says an amount of money which nobody would bother to pick up from the floor is not considered money. I guess he means a 1 agura piece in Israel these days, or it could be more than one source. Okay, but generally speaking, this is all a heter only in all that term are only in Ribbis d'Rabbanan. Now, b'mecher. Yeah, you have to be honest with the Mida Mishkal. Yeah. Oh, you can't give extra Mida Ribbis. What do you mean then? Right. Right. There is a hetter there, but an amount that like kapti. There's the same hetter. Yeah, it says you can have a certain amount of dirt in chitim or a certain amount of peels. There's a certain amount that's considered to be a normal. It's interesting. I had an interesting shaila last week. I don't remember where I was asked this. It was a very interesting shaila. Somebody has a business, and they want to help a poor family. So they sell, let's say it's fruit. So what they want to do, what they're doing, is when the person orders fruit from the store, so let's say the 5 pounds of fruit, they put in 5.5 pounds, or 6 pounds, they add a little to it, and that's what they send to them, and that's the way they've been doing for a while. Now, the person was the Seirer, if he's over on the Yisr of Mishkal Tzedek, of an honest weight, he's not giving the person an honest weight, that was his aura. That maybe he's, he was actually in the era that what's going to happen is that the person is, well, the Torah says your weight should be honest.
Your weight is honest, your mindset is different.
You can assume the person's Michael. Maybe the person wouldn't be Michael if they knew they're getting extra. They don't want more. Not everyone's happy to get a gift. What? You give him a ton without telling him. So it shouldn't be a problem. I don't know. Hen Shulchat Tzedek is only if it's L'tayv Asar. Perhaps. Anyway. Yeah, you can charge the surprise. Yeah. Anyway, there are two great heterim in Sa B'Sar. They're both not a machlaikis. You know, you always say a heter, but it's a machlaikis, not machlaikis. One is Yeshlai. Yeshlai may I say Hamin. That means that the Gemara's case was someone had, I forgot what the Gemara was talking about, let's say wheat. Someone had wheat, he wanted to make it into flour, he had his meal, was all ready to go. The wheat is locked up in a silo, and his son had the key. And his son was on the other end of town, you know, the base medrash probably, whatever it was. So he said, I have wheat. I just don't have it available. My mill is ready. So he went to his potter and he said, listen, lend me saw basaw. Lend me whatever it is, 100 saw of wheat. And it's here. It's in my silo. As soon as I get the key, I'll give it right back to you. Gemara says that's mutter because of the heter of Yeshlai. What is the heter of Yeshlai? The price went up. The heter of Yeshlai all is related to saw basaw being a derabbanan. Since Sa B'Sa is an Issad Rabbanan, it's Merzi Karibis. Here, where I tell a person, look, lend it to me, I have it here. I'm going to give it to you back. It appears like it's Ke'ilu you are Maknetim, even though you are Maknetim B'Payil. And you don't actually have to be Maknetim. But that takes away the Merzi Karibis. And that's the Heter of Yeshlai. And if I have it, there's no Merzi Karibis. You give me a Sa, I'll give you back this. I don't even at the end have to give him that. As long as I can give him wheat, he doesn't have to eat mekabel achrayis. If that silo burns down, I still have to pay him. Yeshlai takes away merzi karibis. More so, if I have a silo with 100 pounds of wheat, so I can go to one neighbor, borrow 100 against it, and go to another neighbor and borrow 100 against it, and a third neighbor. It's not collateral. It just takes away the merzi karibis. One second. Not only that, Gemara says, I can borrow from the same person 100 saw against it, and then later another 100 saw against it. I can even do it twice. That's a liyeshlai. Not only that, even if I have one saw, I could do it. Now, there is a machlaikis rishayim. I can borrow 100 saw once, 100 saw twice. Can I just borrow 200 saw already? Why do I have to bother doing it twice? So that's a machlaikis rishayim. In Shulchan Aruch it says, I'm reading, you don't have it in your copies. I don't have the key. Lava olav kama soin lefreya saw b'saw, that you could borrow saw b'saw. Im ein loy klum, may I say amen? Let's say I have a neighbor, he wants to borrow 100 kilos of gold for me. I don't want to take a chance, a lot of money. I don't want to take a chance. I say, are you Yeshlai? Do you have any? He says, no, I don't have any gold. Shulchan Aruch says, give him a gift. Give him a small piece of gold. I'll lend him a little bit at the shahr. And then you could do whatever you want. It says here, Divrei Atzmai, the Beis Yosef Chiddush, the Loi Ketalmidei HaRashba. I don't know that anybody argues with this heter. I think everyone passes like it. And this is a heter in Sa'a B'Sa'a of Yeshlai. So this would right away be an extraordinary heter. It's an extension of a heter which everybody would agree is mistaver to a level which is a Chiddush. And Yeshlai is one heter. There's a second heter. That's the next sif in Shulchan Aruch.
That
you can't return. Oh, Yovalai, you could lend that. That's more like to give him as a gift, or that small amount. You could do a halvah, which he'll return based on the price rather than on the. Okay, so that already is a discussion. If he has b'makim acher, the Ramah says im yeshle b'makim acher ve'in lamalva derech l'sham. That's not called Yeshlai. It's not called Yeshlai. And the question is how far it goes, and that, I'll leave for a proper Ian.
The moment you can't get there, that's the problem.
If you can't get to it, it's not easily accessible. It has to be easily accessible. There's a second heter, which is even a more wonderful heter, Bizman Hazeh. In the time of the Gemara, it wasn't as Shriach as today. And the second heter is, Hayal Oisei Min Shar Bishuk Kavua V'Yodua L'Shneyem Mutal L'Vaisa V'Sa. That means if the item that you're dealing with has a set the words are it has a set price in the Shuk. You can go out and you can get it. There's a commodity market or it's, the truth is there are two Nekudas here. It has to have a set price and it has to be readily available. If it's not readily available, it's also a problem. Now, the guidelines are a little tricky because commerce has changed Bizman Hazeh from their time. However, it says here in this wonderful book, exceptions to the prohibition of Sa B'Sa, A, B, and C. A, neighbors borrowing small amounts. B, Yeshlai. And C, items which are available at a set price. And when something is readily available at a set price, there is no Isser of Sa B'Sa. An example of this involves trading seasonal fruits and vegetables. During the summer season, locally grown produce is abundantly available at stable prices. The produce may be borrowed. Even if the borrower does not actually have the produce in stock at the time he receives the produce from the lender, during the winter season, when many types of fruits and vegetables are not readily available, and the price tends to fluctuate greatly, at this time, the produce may not be borrowed with the stipulation that identical produce will be returned. Okay, so you have fruits and vegetables. Fruits in the summer are readily available, usually, and then no problem with sabasa. During the winter, where some types of fruits, watermelon or cantaloupe, is not readily available, and they now set prices, it fluctuates. Even when you go to, the orchard, and you buy it from South America, the prices fluctuate. And then it's about. Now, why did I pick an example of fruit? I think it's the only thing in our time that has. That does just about the only thing that doesn't have this heter. What doesn't have a heter today of being readily available at a steady price?
Gasoline.
Fluctuates. Yeah, but it's readily available at a steady price. What's considered a steady price? Generally, a steady price that's steady for 24 hours is considered to be a steady price. It doesn't have to be a steady price. I don't know if I went into that.
Because with the commodity market, it's continuously changing as it trades.
Okay, the question. All right, first of all, in practical terms, to most people, things are available at a given rate out in the market, and therefore, there's no there should be no issue. What you're talking about, the fact that the commodity market fluctuates minute to minute, has a bearing on an interesting shaila. Now, I just want to point out, halacha l'maisa, the isra of sa b'sa virtually never applies. Virtually never, because of this heter of sa b'sa, when there's a shar, when it's yata shar, this heter always applies, except there's one exception, and that is the borrower has to have the option of paying back at any time. When you lend somebody a kilo of gold, he has to have the option of paying at any time. You're going to lend him a kilo of gold and say, you have to pay in 6 months, I don't have to take payment earlier, that's a problem. Because the heter, what you're saying basically is you're betting on the future price. But it's like yeah, you buy an option and bet against it. What? Well, then you have the right to sell. So basically, the heter of saw b'saw, with this one exception, is pretty much disappears. The issur of saw b'saw pretty much disappears based on this concept of yata hashar. There is one issue which generated a lot of discussion in the paiskim, and it's very interesting because when you think about it, it was very, very not shchiach at the time that that the Shulchan Aruch was written. And that is, when you borrow one currency and pay a different currency, it's one thing to borrow one currency and pay a different currency in the same country. It's another thing to borrow in one country and repay the person in a different country, which is a second issue. Every country, Pashtus, has one currency, repay the person in a different country, which is second issue. Every country, Pashtus, has one currency, and in the United States, the dollar is the currency. If you borrow francs or rubles or whatever it is that you borrow, the that's all bizarre. If I take from you 1,000 francs, and I say I'll pay back 1,000 francs, I borrow from you 1,000 yen. Was that worth about 6 cents? Huh? How much is 1,000 yen? What? 350 yen to a dollar. Okay, $3. But anyway, you borrow whatever it is. You borrow in the United States, you borrow 1,000 yen. If you don't say anything, you just borrow the 1,000 yen, you don't owe him 1,000 yen. That's not so bizarre. These haterim don't apply. If you borrow stoma, then you owe him the dollar value. If you borrow 1,000 yen and you say, I'll pay back 1,000 yen, then that's all b'sah. If yatsa hashar, then there's a heter. The question is currency yatsa hashar nowadays, where the currency markets fluctuate minute to minute as they trade? There are fluctuations, usually not big fluctuations, but that's the issue. There's a tshuva, the Shevet HaLevi, who says that even though the markets fluctuate, nevertheless, in a bank, in a typical bank, you go in the morning, they set the price for the day, and the price which is set for the day are stable for that day in the bank. Of course, if something wild happens, they'll change it, but it doesn't happen. Usually, the price is set for a day, and he says, therefore, that currency has this heter of sa b'sa. The Armifakfikin, I quote here, two Mefakfikin, Rebbe Yashiv and Kitzur Dinei Ribbis, which is Reb Sternbuch, and they're Mefakfik on this heter. They say that the fact is that it does fluctuate. It fluctuates day to day in the bank. Is it so borrowed that one day is enough? More so, bank rates are usually not set for 24 hours. How much a bank is open for 6 hours a day? It's set for 6 hours. So because it's stable for 6 hours, that makes it be stable. So therefore, they're mefakfik on this head. A person should be machmir on this issue when borrowing currency or lending currency. However, this is only an exception to heter C, to the third heter of yatsa hashar. Let's say you're in Eretz Yisrael, and you want to lend money or borrow money and peg it to the dollar. And you don't want to come on to any heterim. There are heterim. You don't want to have to come on to heterim. So you're borrowing shkolim, or you're borrowing francs, or you're borrowing whatever it is, yen, and you want to have a heter. You don't need heter C, because usually you'll have heter B. Remember, if yeshla, if the borrower has, it's mutter. If he has dollars, and you're lending him shkolim, you can peg it to the price of dollars based on the yeshlai heter. If he doesn't have dollars, so give him a gift, $1, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Give him $1 as a gift. And then you could lend him as many shkolim or rubles or yen as you want based on the yeshlai heter. So you have these two heterim which apply. Again, you have to remember two things. First of all, saw b'saw is only if you say so. You have to tell him, I'm lending you a saw for a saw. Only when you stipulate. And he has to be able to repay it any time he wants. It has to be the lender's option to repay it any time he wants. But if you have those two conditions, then the heter applies. So for someone who has presence of mind, it's not a problem. Even if people have no presence of mind and don't know anything about sah b'sah, it's kimat never that these issues are issues. The issue does come up, and it's a difficult one, all the time, with yeshiva boys. It comes up with someone, not yeshiva boys, yeshiva boys are the ones who ask me, who are in Eretz Yisrael. They lend shkolim, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, and they're repaying in the United States. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, again, if you say, I'm lending you dollars, give me dollars, so it's all bizarre, you have these heter. Talk about a stam loan. Or very often there's a dira, and one person pays the phone bill for the whole dira, and everybody else has got to repay him later. Now this is not only common, this is routine all the time. Now as long as you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have no problem. You pay shkolim, you get back shkolim. There's no issue. It's an exact amount. The issue does come up when the boys come back to the United States, and now there are two boys in yeshiva, and he's giving him dollars, not shkolim. He's giving him dollars. So he owes him 200 shekel. So now they come, they say, I have to pay him 200 shekel. How do I pay? Do I pay in the shekel value? I'm paying him dollars. Do I say, look, I owe you 200 shekel. We'll look it up in the paper today, and I'll give you that in dollars. Or do I say, no, when I borrowed it, it was worth a certain number of dollars. So what do I do? Now here, it's very complicated, because if everything happened in Israel, if you borrow shekels and repay shekels in Israel, it's easy. If I borrow 200 shekel, I pay you back 200 shekel. When I'm paying you back the 200, I want to give you dollars. I look it up at today's price, and that's what I do. Period. If it'll be in America, I borrow shekel for some reason from you in the United States. I borrow 200 shekel. I pay you back. I didn't say anything. I come to pay you back. Then I peg it to which value? If I borrow 200 shekel in the United States, I don't say anything. I peg it to the original value, because that's borrowing vegetables, fruit. So if the lending and the repaying are both in the United States, you go by original value. It's payrus. If the borrowing and lending was both in Israel, then you peg it by the value at the time of payment. Because there, I borrowed 200 shekel, I'll give you back. Now I actually owe you 200 shekel, so I'll give you the dollars of today's value. Question is, if I borrow in Israel and I repay in the United States, what do you do now? And there's no early tshuva on this topic that I know of. It apparently was not common that you would have situations where both the loiva and the malva would be in one country, and then both of them would be in a different country. I mean, the people didn't move around as much, and probably if someone lent you money and he was moving 500 miles away, you made sure you were repaid before he moved. And I'm not aware of any earlier tshuva on the topic. I'm just saying I'm not aware. The Likud Svarim that I'm not aware would mean anything. The Likud Svarim, I don't know, they don't have earlier tshuvas. You go back to the not makbid. I don't think it's so by currency. When you borrow sugar and you pay sugar, you're talking not makbid. When you're repaying dollars, you always makbid because you have to look it up. You have to know what to pay. But I don't know that that's called like kapti. What I tell people is they have to get estimate both values and give the smaller whatever's the lesser of the two, because it's a suffix. It's all svarim, heintik is svarim, and it's all svaris. There are no rayas, and therefore I tell people to pay the lesser of the two to avoid a ribishah. It's usually a small difference. Yes.
I understand the point that sometimes you look at the price when you borrow it and sometimes when you pay back.
Okay, let me explain that. Explain one more time. I'll let you follow up. Just let me explain again. Price of a stam loan. When you lend someone something, you don't say anything. Let's say you're in business. You borrow 100 kilo of gold. All right, in certain business, it's typical in the jewelry line that you borrow the gold, you pay back the gold. But let's say you're in a loan that was done both ways. If you don't say anything, when you borrow payra, you borrow anything that's not currency, you have to pay back the value of the thing you borrowed at the time you borrowed it. It's set at that value of the tibba. When you pay back, if you pay back in the form of produce or anything, at the time you pay back, you look at the tibba, at the value of the thing you're paying back. If I owe you $100 and I'm paying you back with product, I look at the value of the product at the time I pay you. So therefore, if you're in Israel where dollars are produce and shekel is currency, at the time that I borrow, if I borrow shkolim, I owe you shkolim. At the time I repay, if I want to pay you back dollars, at that time, I owe you the currency. I owe you 200 shekel. Let's say when I borrow the 200 shekel, it's worth $40. Now I'm paying you back. And if I'm in Israel, I owe you 200 shekel. If I'm in the United States and I borrow 200 shekel, that shekel is produce. Then I owe you $40. Then when I go back to pay, I pay you $40. So in the United States, when I borrow shekelim and I pay back, I go by its value, meikara, its value at the time of the loan. In Eretz Yisrael, if I borrow shekelim, so I pay back shekelim. If I want to give you dollars, I pay back the value at the time of the repayment. And therefore, if a loan was in one country and a repayment was in a different country, it becomes a murky area, and that's where the problem comes.
Let's say you have the following scenario. I'm about to walk into a store and buy a product. And I have the amount of shekelim to buy.
You, where are you? Which country?
I'm in Israel.
Yes.
So
you have to remember, if there's no loan, there's not going to be any shaila.
So lend the guy the money, right? And I don't buy the box. I lend the guy the money, and I don't buy the box.
Yeah. He owes you money.
I lent him the money.
So you don't have to walk to the bike store. He just owes you money, and now you're going in to get the bike.
No. I was going to buy the bike, but I lent the money. Now I can't buy the bike.
You're a very strange person.
No.
Well, what do you mean? You go in. You want the bike. Why are you lending the money? Why don't you just give him the money and take the bike?
You said to me, I need money.
So why don't you take the bike and give him the money?
I have to have the money. I'm going to buy the bike, but I'm going to lend you the money.
The guy who sells the bike?
No.
Who are you lending the money to?
Third person.
Oh, third party. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I apologize.
Okay, my friend comes. I need money.
Yes. Fine.
I'll give you the money.
Okay. Now I can get the bike. Okay.
Now I can't find the bike.
Right.
He pays me back.
The price of the bike changes.
Tough on you.
Or the currency moves, now he pays me back.
If you lend him shekelim, he owes you shekelim. It could be the value of the shekel got devalued 100 times. The shekel is the money, and that's it. Now, it is important, there is a Tshuva Nigris Maisha who writes that in Israel, dollars are also currency. That's where Moshe writes. Now that shuva was written in the 70s, where Israel had inflation rates and sometimes triple digits. And the question is it true? The question is, what makes the dollar currency in Israel? Is it because everyone uses it, which is true in most of the world today, non-communist world, or is it because people peg things to the dollar all the time? Now. It's legal to do the things that were illegal. Right. Rabin resigned over it once, right? Yeah, I know. So the question is whether Ramesh's Truva would apply today, where it's not as common to peg things to the dollar. Large business deals are still pegged to the dollar, small business deals are not. And it's questionable, and maybe the place can hold that. It is still that way. I was told that Rabbi Yashiv still holds it's that way there as well. Whether it's so or not, I don't know firsthand. Shkolim is definitely the currency. The question is, could you have two currencies in a country? It's a very interesting shaila. Theoretically, it should be impossible to have two currencies in a country. There should only be one currency because everything has to be pegged to one thing. What?
The euro?
Yeah, but the euro is pegged. The euro is pegged to all the other currencies. They don't fluctuate. But do they fluctuate? Can the pound fluctuate to the franc? Do they fluctuate one to the other? Everything's pegged to the euro, and they're set. I don't know. There is an issue whether you can have two currencies. The time of the Gemara, silver was the only currency. The time of the Gemara, silver is the currency. Finished. That's the currency. The Ramah here brings Shita that Bizman Hazeh, in his day, gold is also a currency, which implies that you could have two currencies. It looks like a Shach and Taz what the explanation is. But it appears that it's possible to have two currencies, which is a little hard to understand. And Rav Moshe, in his Tshuva, takes on that Mahalach, that you could have two currencies. And it seems that even though the letter Gedalei Eretz Yisrael argued with a lot of Rav Moshe's Pesachim there when they get to Eretz Yisrael, that this is one Pesach that they accepted, that there could be two currencies. And certainly at that time it was accepted that there are two currencies in Eretz Yisrael. Whether it applies today, I'm not sure what the truth would be. That's right. That's the basis for the heter, that if gold could have. Anyway, this is what we've done today is basically the rules of Sar B'Sar, the three major exceptions. The name Sar B'Sar, you know, it's like a thing that people know in Hilchos Ribbis. The fact that it's rarely Nagala Halacha, really a problem in Halacha, is true, except when you lend a saw and don't stipulate, then it's a problem. If you're going to borrow and don't stipulate, it's a problem, unless it's a double mut, like Kapti Adadi, like the Ramah says. But what? I'm borrowing 100 pounds of flour, I'll repay you 100 pounds of flour. That's stipulating saw b'saw, and that, if it's Yeshla Yatashar, it's okay. You have these
heterim. What about if...
What? There has to be a right to repay immediately. That's a requirement.
What about if I want to borrow fruit from the season and repay it with something that's...
The words you said, you're exaggerating, because just because things fluctuate, does that mean you can lend me $10, I'll pay you back $12?
Yeah, because the value of that $10 could be worth 12, 15, 8, or
6. Now, this is a very interesting tshuva in the Igris Moshe. Maybe some of you will make some money on having come here today. Listen to this. Rav Moshe says that, and it's not only today, Rav Moshe says there's inflation. The value of a dollar today is not the value of a dollar from 40 years ago. What do you mean? It's inflation. Are you talking? You know, if you lend someone $1,000 in 1960 and you catch up with him today, he gives you back $1,000. You know, $1,000 in 1960, you know, you could almost buy a house. And now $1,000, what are you gonna do? Halacha is he pays you $1,000. Holy Davaru. So Ramesha says it doesn't mean that the Torah says no, it's worth the same. The Torah recognizes the difference. However, in Dine Bein Adam Lechaveiroi, it's important, you'll see why. So in Dine Bein Adam Lechaveiroi, there has to be something to peg it to. You can't function. So therefore, there's a concept of Tiva to which everything is pegged. However, Zokter Moshe, in Dine Bein Adam Lamakim, it's not so. In Bein Adam Lamakim, you can factor in the devaluation of money, Lamai Nafkamina. So Moshe has a heter for tzedakah, for meiser. People are noyeh to give meiser on their money. So you have money in the bank, the money is earning interest. Or you buy a house. Somebody has a house. It's not uncommon that someone has a house for 50 years. So sometimes, you know, my father said he bought his house in Borough Park. He paid $36,000, and he was ashamed to tell people he paid so much. $36,000 in 1960s, and he's going to sell it. When we sell it, eventually, you know, it could be you get $1 million for it. So l'chayri, you have to give meiser on $964,000. You have to give 10% for meiser. When you have that kind of money, you probably should give already chay mishul, right? But so Moshe says no. Magabi Meiser, whatever the, no, you don't go by real estate. But you go by the basket, whatever the devaluation of money is, you don't have to give Meiser on. A $1960 is worth, what's it worth today? I don't know. If you go buy a basket of everything, $10 today. So let's say a $1960 with $10 today, is that close? Probably. So a $36,000 house, so you can figure you pay $360,000 for it. If you have money in the bank, you're earning interest, Ramesha says, as long as the interest rates are not more than the increase in the cost of living, which today certainly isn't, you don't have to give Meiser on that interest. Generally, interest rates are close to the cost, the increase in the cost of living. So Ramesha says, on that increase, you don't have to give Meiser, because the truth, the MS is that the money is worth less. In Dinei Ben Adam L'Chaveri, you can't do that. You lend someone money, you say, okay, let's sit down, let's figure out how much is it worth today. So Torah pegged it to something specific. You can call it a svara, you can call it a chayk, whatever you want. But it's pegged to money. It has to be pegged to something, because otherwise you can't function. We're going to peg it to apples, to oranges, to real estate. But in Ben Adam L'Makim, there's a second afkamina, I just don't remember offhand. One is Meiser, and Ramesh has a second afkamina in Ben Adam L'Makim. Why the person is borrowing? Everybody who borrows money for a business reason. Nobody borrows money for, there's no other reason to borrow money. Money is eitzim v'avonim on Shabbos. Has no use. A dollar bill is nothing. What's a dollar bill? Has no use. Oh, so that's buying. That's business. Then buying something is business. When you want to buy a roll for breakfast, that's not business. It's not business. It's not that we have different meaning for the word of business. You mean commerce, and I mean business.
The cost of living what? Is not business. So you lend someone money for no interest, right?
Yes.
And the cost of living is 5%. That means 5% he would be committed to give you and not be considered business?
No. Ben Olam Chaveri, it's a problem.
Oh,
Ben Olam Makim. Ramesh's Heter is only the Ben Olam Makim.
Shouldn't it be remiss on $36,000?
What? Why should you give Meiser $36,000? No, $36,000, you're just getting back what you put in. That you certainly not.
It's different.
Okay, everybody, stay warm.